This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 155 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
Yeah.
My name Hef.
He's Hefe, man. interesting.
Well put.
Thank you. So this is what happened this morning.
Okay.
I knew that today is April the 2nd, by the way. I knew that...
Tuesday, April the 2nd.
Avengers tickets are going on sale April 2nd. I didn't know what time. I'm driving back from the grocery store, and as I'm rounding, as I turn down my road...
Which for Mike is normal because he works overnight, so, you know...
Oh, yeah.
Going to the grocery store at 6 in the morning is the end of his day.
Yeah,
not
well,
the first thing. He's not a 50-year-old man.
Actually, I had dropped my daughter off at school... Oh, shit. No, I didn't. I didn't have her this morning.
No. Don't get sidetracked.
I dropped my son off at daycare. Then I went to the grocery store. I was coming home. So it was like a couple minutes past 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Right around 8 o'clock. And I go, oh, shit, Avengers tickets go on sale today. Because last night at midnight when I was awake, I pulled my phone out, went to my Regal app and looked and nothing. And then at 3:30...
Oh, they were all there, but as soon as you'd hit buy...
Yes, you'd hit buy...
The minion would pop up.
Hey, there's something wrong. It's been doing that since last week, basically. So, I'm driving down the road. Yeah, I'm driving down the road, and I hit buy, and then I'm waiting, and I look, and it shows me seats. And I, like, pull over, and I'm like...
Because you got to focus on that.
Oh, yeah.
It's like turning the radio down when you're backing into a spot.
Exactly.
It's the same thing. You're like, okay, I need to clear myself of distractions.
So I pull over, and I'm like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, I need to get one for Paul. 5. And then I try to buy, and it won't let me. Because it says I can't leave that one seat by itself.
It didn't want him to be lonely.
But you know what I mean? Like, it forced me to buy 6 tickets to finish the row.
Really?
Would not let me leave that one seat by itself.
That doesn't
make any
sense.
It kept giving me an error. It kept saying, you know, you must leave 2 seats. Da 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 da. What if I just want to buy 1 ticket? But yeah, it would not let me leave that one seat by itself.
That's weird.
It didn't have, like, 2 seats around it.
Because I bought 3, and it let me buy 3.
But I had left 1 seat by itself against the wall.
Oh.
And
so they were afraid nobody would want to sit there.
So it would not let me
sit. Except for a pedophile or a pervert.
Right. So it would not let me. Well, I assume it's a wall. Maybe it's an aisle. I don't know. But it wouldn't let me make my transaction unless I bought that ticket. So I have an extra ticket.
They saw you coming.
Well, whatever. maybe I'll take my daughter. I don't know. But anyways.
Your son would probably like to go.
He's going.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I got one for me, 2 co-workers, my son, and my cousin Paul, and then...
Who's not really your cousin.
Right. And then I have an extra now. Whatever. It's not the end of the world.
No.
Maybe you'll want to go early.
Maybe.
Come watch it, and then you can go watch it the next day for the second time.
Yeah. What time is it?
6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Thursday, 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're interested, it's yours. Anyhow, but I got my Avengers tickets. And so I immediately messaged you, hey, Avengers tickets are on sale. And you're like, good to know. And then I said, I already bought mine. And then, like, I just bought mine. And then I went back to, like, so I drove home. And then I went back to look. And I'm like, it was empty. It was sold out already. That 6 o'clock screening, there's the only one they're doing that Thursday. It was sold out. I was like, it's been 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and so I messaged you, like, I just checked by happenstance. And that's when you told me that. Oh, I checked at 7:45 and they weren't on sale yet, so they must have gone on sale at 8 o'clock.
Yep.
About 2 hours later, I get a notice from Regal, tickets were on sale now. I'm like, but they're all sold out. Like, I go look, and, like, every screening on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday basically were sold out. There was, like, maybe a seat here or there.
And that's, I don't know about Thursday, but Friday, they had the 3D and the regular.
Yeah.
And the regular, they were showing it in three different screens.
Yeah.
They, you know, usually when they do pre-ordering, they're like, oh, one screen.
Yeah.
You know, here's the 7 o'clock showing. And then eventually, if you're lucky, they'll open up another one. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's a 6:30 showing.
Well, I remember, there was one of the Marvel movies that we bought tickets. Oh, it was Star Wars, maybe. Yeah. Star Wars. They didn't have a Thursday night for sale.
Right.
When they went on sale. So we bought Friday night. And then like 2 weeks later, Thursday night popped up for sale. So I bought Thursday and sold the Friday.
Yep.
But anyways, regardless, you know, we have my Avengers tickets. So
I have my Avengers tickets.
Yeah. So I put it in a group chat I'm in.
Row E.
Yeah.
Big theater.
Yeah.
Center three seats.
I'm row C.
Ooh. It's kind of to the front.
Smaller theater.
Mm. Okay.
I sat in row C. I sat in row C in the theater the other day when I went and saw Captain Marvel with the kids. I had seen it for my second time, took them to see it. And that was what was the best kind of available. And I was like, ah, geez, it's a little close in my mind. But it was fine.
Good.
Yeah. So I'm not worried about it. Because my options were row C or E, actually.
See, given any choice, I like to go back further.
Yeah.
Just because I don't like having a lot of people behind me. I want to see the motherfuckers that are interrupting my movie experience.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't want to have to turn around and say, get back in your fucking seat.
But I would never go any closer than C.
No.
Row C. No, that's absolutely ridiculous. Not. Yeah, no. I don't even
know. When I see people in A and B, I'm like, you're playing poorly.
Well, I took the kids to go see Captain Marvel on Sunday at 3:30, I think it was. 3 o'clock or 3:30. Theater was sold out.
I believe it.
It's a movie's been out like what, 3 weeks?
Yeah. But it's a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
And it's tiding people over until
it was a rainy Sunday and the theater was sold out. Like, I mean, when I bought the tickets online it wasn't, but by the time that movie started, not an empty seat. There was people getting up and leaving.
Yeah. What? Why?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a Marvel movie. Use your head. So I
assume you mean during the credits before they see the
during the credits, okay.
Not just like in the middle of the movie.
No,
like, fuck this, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I saw the cat, I'm good.
And so I go, And so then Candy goes, so there's two PSs, right? I go, yeah, there's one middle of credits, one at the end of the credits. People in front of us sat back down. And then they had the middle PS and then the regular black and white credits start. And people down front of us get up, they're walking by. And Candy goes, there's another one after the credits. They went back and sat down. You know, like, oh, thanks.
I remember back in the day, before PSs were a thing.
Yeah.
Before they ever mattered. The Matrix did one of the first ones. And I remember going into the theater and standing up and walking to the front of the theater and announcing to everybody, listen up, just so you know, when the credits roll, keep your asses in your seats because there's going to be another scene after the movie or after. Yeah, it was The Matrix 2 because they have that PS where it shows the guys laying on the slab side by side. Yeah. And I did my public service.
The very first post credit I remember after the, you know, in a movie I didn't see at the theater, it was a home video, it was Masters of the Universe.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember that one?
I try to forget everything I can about that fucking movie.
That was a good movie.
What?
It wasn't terrible.
Mike, that was terrible. I loved He-Man.
Okay, no.
I loved He-Man.
Yes, I loved He-Man as well.
And this was an abomination.
Yes, it was. But ultimately, it wasn't that bad. Like, as for a movie, take out the He-Man aspect.
When was the last time you watched it?
Huh?
When was the last time you watched it?
A few years ago with Kanan.
I don't agree. I agree to disagree.
Oh, that's fine. I'm just separating it from the fact. I'm just going like, this is not anything to do with my toys that I loved and the cartoon I loved. This is just a movie with Dolph Lundgren in it. And in that aspect, it's not so bad because it's such a far reach from what He-Man was.
Yeah.
So that's why I just pretend that has nothing to do with He-Man. And as a standalone movie, it's not bad. Anyways, post-credit scene is Skeletor pops up out of the abyss type of thing.
Right.
So, yeah. But I shared in the group chat how I bought Avengers tickets and others like, oh, shit. And then a while later when I looked, like, someone had posted a screenshot from Fandango that said, you're in line. Wait time is more than 1 hour. Now, granted, this guy lived in New York, but still, wait time to buy tickets is more than 1 hour.
Wow.
And you were saying before we started recording that.
Yes. Last I checked this afternoon when I got out of work, the Endgame pre-sales had more than tripled what Infinity War had done, which is pretty freaking insane.
Yeah.
Tripled. And this is just the pre-sales from this morning. They said that it was crashing the websites multiple times. People were having a very hard time getting on there, getting their tickets. I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of seen the same thing as far as, but I kind of just did a quick Google, and it says now Avengers Endgame breaks office pre-sale record in only 6 hours. It's pretty...
6 hours?
It's crazy. Endgame destroys The Force Awakens first day pre-sale record.
I think it destroyed pretty much everything for pre-sale records. This is going to be a big movie.
Now, have you heard yet if they're going to do an intermission in the middle or they're just
going
to run?
I have not. As far as I know, they're just going straight 3 hours, 2 minutes, plus trailers.
Not buying a beverage.
No.
Taking it in the theater.
In fact, you should pee several times before you go in there.
I can only
squeeze every last bit.
I can pee. I mean, not going to
say you can pee more.
You can't stand, then you got to sit down to do it. Because if you push too hard, you don't want to have an accident.
Blow your O-ring.
Right.
You know what bothers me? You know what happens at work? At work, we have two stalls and two urinals
sure.
in the men's room. Okay? So I'm in there taking my morning dump.
Sure.
In one of the stalls.
Yep.
Nobody else is in there. I hear somebody come in.
Yep.
They walk over to the other stall, walk in, close the door, stand up and piss. And then they flush and they walk out.
Maybe they're pee shy.
There's nobody else in there.
But they don't know if someone else is going to come in or not. Is there a divider between the urinals?
Yes.
Some people's pee shyness won't even, the divider's not enough.
That's the only thing that it can be, because otherwise they're just sociopaths. I mean, there's something wrong with you there if you're like, no, I can't use one of those urinals. I'm going to go stand in a stall.
I prefer to use a stall.
Really?
Yeah.
To stand up and pee?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm not a fan of the urinal. Because I can
feel... But we've already determined you are a sociopath.
But I can feel it splashing back on me sometimes. I don't like that.
Aim.
I do aim.
Like, wait, aim down.
I do.
How does
I'm
it splash
short,
back
John.
On you?
I'm short, John.
They make urinals for three-year-olds, you know, that, like, they're built low to the ground. You could. I've never had that problem.
Yeah, well, I felt it, and I don't care for it.
Okay.
I pee with a lot of pressure.
I guess so.
Yeah. I mean, like, you can't see wetness.
You should volunteer to be a firefighter.
Like, you can't see wetness on your arms after on my arms after it happens.
But I was going to say, I can see wetness on my arms.
I can feel it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't look down and go, oh, I can see where the pee hit my arms, but I can feel it hit. I'm like, eh, fuck that. See, I used to flush it first, and I'd pee while it flushed, and I didn't have any problems with that. But now it's like the sensor flushes, and sometimes it doesn't flush when you want it to, and they don't have the buttons, so you can manually flush it.
I'm so happy I went down this rabbit hole.
Now they got those new urinals that are flushless. They
yep.
don't use any water.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah. It's a bucket on the wall.
Yeah, basically.
With
yeah.
a hole in the
yeah.
bottom.
So, I don't know. I prefer to hit the stall.
Fair enough. But like I said, we've already determined you're a sociopath. So.
Correct. Also, I wear suspenders.
Correct.
And I wear those under my shirt.
Correct.
So sometimes I have to take my shirt off so I can undo my suspender. So I can drop it off my shoulder so I can pee.
Some might ask why you don't just wear it over your shirt.
Because then I'd have to tuck my shirt in, and I'm large enough as it is, I don't need to show it off by going, look how tight my shirt is on my body.
Gotcha, okay.
You know, I mean, it looks better when it's loose than sausaged.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a fan of tucking in shirts myself.
Yeah, I don't like tucking in shirts.
No, I like to feel loose and comfortable.
I wear a Jockey calls them A shirts, but generally known as wife beaters.
Oh, yeah.
I wear those as an undershirt that I tuck in. Mm-hmm. And so I wear my suspenders over that. And then if I raise my arms up and my shirt rides up, my stomach's not hanging out because I have a shirt tucked in, you know. Because, I don't like. That's why I wear suspenders. So the back of my pants stay up and, you know, just stuffing things.
Guess I hit the wrong button.
Yeah, you did. What are you looking at? You want to see how long it's been?
14 minutes.
Yeah?
We haven't gotten to a single show or movie yet.
We've been talking about Avengers.
Tickets that we bought.
Yeah, but still talking about the flick.
Yeah, so avoid the internet. It's a fucking minefield of fans can't believe that they... Although I will say this is funny. they got enough traction on one fan theory that somebody in an interview just asked Anthony Russo about it.
What?
That the easiest way to defeat Thanos is to have Ant-Man shrink down, go up his ass, and then expand.
I heard go in his ear and expand.
No, this was up his ass, and they specifically asked Anthony Russo, and he's like, man, I wish we came up with a cool idea like that.
Yeah, I saw someone tweeting the other day, like, about someone, I don't know who it was, might have been Paul Rudd, basically saying, like, please stop. I saw it pop on my Twitter.
Well, now that you said that, I gotta do this.
Oh, you gotta have a look-see?
Nope.
Oh. So.
This is Josh Brolin's Instagram feed.
The tension around Endgame is going to feel like, can you feel it?
He's prepping to squeeze out of Duke. So he's getting in on it too.
Yeah, he is. That's awesome. Go watch Josh Brolin's Instagram feed.
He's clenching his jaw and veins are popping out in his forehead and he's trying to squeeze out a poop.
Yeah. Nice.
Yep.
Nice. All right, let's talk about shows.
Yeah.
I didn't watch a lot because I'm leaving for New York tomorrow morning.
One would think I didn't watch a lot because I've been in New York.
Nope. That'll be next week's excuse. Because I had to get all my schoolwork done before I go. Mm. Because I have to have my two quizzes, my four quizzes and my four discussion posts and my eight responses done before I leave. And I couldn't start any of that until Monday at midnight. Guess what they did at Monday at midnight? Took Loud Cloud down for again, upgrades until 5 a.m.
Wow.
So that's what I've been doing the last 2 days is busting that out, trying to get that done.
Nice. But you're all caught up.
All my schoolwork's done, turned in, all done. I'm all ready to go, so I don't have to worry about it while I'm gone. Because I'm not coming back till Monday, and it's all due Sunday at midnight, and I don't have to deal with it.
Thanks. This will probably be another one of our off weeks, because we're recording Tuesday.
Yeah.
This won't go up till Sunday.
Yeah.
The next time we should be recording would be like Monday.
Yeah.
But you're going to be fresh back and won't have watched Jack or shit.
I can talk all about wrestling. That's about it.
So basically what we'll do is record that upcoming weekend.
Yeah. So it works out, though.
Yeah.
It works out continuity-wise.
Boy.
Did I talk about Us last week? The movie
Us. Yes, you said that you watched it. You said that you really liked it.
Okay, I couldn't remember if I discussed it last week or not.
I still have not watched it yet, so.
Which is fine.
I'm going to try to go this weekend. This past weekend, I was sick the whole weekend.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, down.
Yeah, well, I talked about going to see Captain Marvel
with
the kids, and you said you were sick.
And the thing is, I had a sinus infection.
Yeah.
Back a week or so ago.
Yeah.
Got on the antibiotics, kicked it out of me. It was fucking phenomenal. I felt great. I felt like $1 million. I go back to work, and two of my bosses have the flu.
Ugh.
And they're both like, oh, I hate having the flu.
Thanks for breathing on me.
Yeah, next thing you know, I get sick. Nobody else in the office has gotten sick. I got fucking hammered. So, yeah.
That's a bunch of horse shit.
Yep, but I'm just about better now, so.
Well, good.
All right, so let me go over a couple of things that we had wanted to carry over to this one and see if you did. So, Love, Death, and Robots.
Okay, I watched the first episode.
Okay, just the first one.
Yeah, and I didn't dislike it. I was like, you know what? I need to pay attention to this.
Yes.
So, because I threw it on at work. I got to pay attention to this.
Yeah.
So I didn't.
Pretty brutal the way that she got her head stomped, huh?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Didn't see that one coming.
Nope.
Yep.
You're like, ooh, it's sexy times. And then she like Wolverines right up through her head.
Yeah.
And then stomps the ever-loving crap out of her. Yeah. But again, they're all very different.
So. Yeah. But I did watch the first one and I was like, I really need to pay attention to this while watching it.
Good. That episode of Schooled, did you end up watching that one?
I did watch that.
What'd you think?
I thought it was fantastic.
I mean, it's a good show anyway.
So I did take quite a bit of notes.
Okay.
I love how, it makes me want to go back and start the show from the beginning.
You'd be doing yourself a favor.
Because the coach is hilarious.
Yes.
His explanation of Star Wars is like a Kevin Smith-style explanation of, like, The Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
And Clerks 2.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was absolutely fantastic.
You said it's a mysterious force, but now what? You can just get a blood test?
Yeah. I mean, what about the midichlorians? What? And it was hilarious. Like, he clearly paid attention.
Right.
Which was fantastic. And then I loved how who is that the teacher?
What's his, like JC or something?
Yeah, no, but what's he teach?
He's just a teacher there.
Okay. Yeah. I love how he destroyed baseball.
Yeah.
By describing about what it does. Oh, the seventh inning stretch? That's a group stretch people have to do to prevent from getting blood clots. I mean, I loved that. I thought it was absolutely hilarious. And then the coach is like, yeah, yeah. And then he goes, he's watching the game, and he's like, holy crap, why are you going to shake off every pitch?
Right.
You
know,
just throw the ball.
It was such a good look. Like, the show was good anyway, but it was such a good look at, like, how you can be totally passionate about something and you turn a blind eye to that kind of stuff. You know, you're just like, I love this for what it is.
And then when the coach goes back to JC, he's just baseball's terrible. I mean, think about it. The greatest hitter in the game only hit the ball 4 out of 10 times. And JC's like, well, that's not very good. I know. And why are we seeing him taking me out to the ball game? We're there. Stop selling it. Then it was just fantastic. And then, like, when he's like, well, you know, but you ruined Star Wars for us, so you stole that away from me. Like, you know, from us, like, I stole away baseball from you. And then the coach does this awesome lightsaber battle scene.
Darth Melor.
Yeah. And then when his baseball players show up and they're like, right, and you know, Star Wars? Of course we do. You know, like.
And it was like, yeah! You know, it's again one of those ties that bind kind of things.
And it was a cool battle.
Yeah.
It was a great episode. I'm like, I think I want to watch this show.
Yeah. The show itself is great anyway. I haven't pushed it hard, but I really enjoy it. And the coach is the best.
Well, the coach is, yeah, that's my selling point, because the secondary story of the driver's ed, I cared nothing about.
Nope.
I could have done without that completely, but the other half about fandom and how, oh God, I love the greatest hitter in the game only hit the ball 4 out of 10 times.
Well, that doesn't sound very good.
No, it's not. And take me out to the ball game? Why are we singing it in the middle of the game? We're already there. Stop selling it to us. I thought it was great. I thought it was fantastic.
I love that. And like I said, the main reason that I thought you'd like it was because of the fandom thing.
Yeah.
You know? Speaking of which, I think we should take a moment to talk about Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
So you pointed that out to me. And I'm familiar with John Oliver. I've never watched the show. And so I looked it up on YouTube straight away. And I noticed it was 23 minutes long. So I'm like, okay, I wonder if that's the whole thing. And what it is he talks about WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment.
Now, an insert here, usually what his show is, it happens Sunday nights on HBO. It's about a half an hour long, sometimes 36 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And it'll, like, you saw just that one part of it, but he'll always start off with, like, here's a quick recap of the week. And it usually deals with Trump and, you know, he's anti-Trump.
Daily show type stuff.
Yeah. They make some good points, but then they'll always cut away to it. And now this, and sometimes it's really funny stuff. Like, you know, there was a baseball commentator who was talking about anything but baseball.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious. But then when he comes back, he'll be like, our main story tonight. And sometimes it's like Bitcoin. Sometimes it's Brexit. You know, he talks about something that's big in the world right then and there. And sometimes you go, I don't really care about Israel, so I don't really want to watch. But you learn some stuff from it. So I was interested when I saw this and thought, Mike probably already heard about this, but I'll tell him anyway.
Actually, I hadn't. When you told me about it, I hadn't heard it. But again, you told me Monday morning at like 7:30 in the morning. So.
And it had just aired that night.
Right. And most wrestling fans hadn't seen it at all. So when you told me about it, so I was like, all right, I'll watch it. So I watched it that morning before I went to bed. And, you know, at first it starts out like, it's pretty funny, and he's a wrestling fan, and and this is pretty funny. All right, this is kind of cool. And then it takes a direction I wasn't expecting, because all of a sudden it goes into a social commentary of what's wrong with wrestling. And
which has nothing to do with, like, scripted shows or anything. Like, you'd think that if somebody said social commentary about what's wrong with wrestling, you'd be like, oh, well, then it's fake. And that
Not at all. It's about other independent contractors. And I don't know. It was very well written, I guess. Very well done. And I mean, like, this wasn't like they did their research. This wasn't half-assed. And, you know, he puts it together, and there's little funny clips in here and there, and you know what I mean, to kind of for the levity, because it is a comedy show.
Watching Vince McMahon get his face buried in somebody's ass.
Right. But at the end of the day, what he was saying was exceptionally serious, and it's not anything I wasn't familiar with.
Right.
I just haven't heard anyone from outside the world of wrestling ever address it before. And address it in a way that, like, if you take away all the comedy little clips that he did, I mean,
it's a scary message.
It's a good 15 minutes of a very real, truthful message of, you know, more how wrestlers were treated, not how they're treated now. It's a lot different than it was, but it was different because it was like, I've never seen a non-wrestler or someone not involved in wrestling get it. Like, he got it in that. I mean, it was tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I shared it on Twitter. I shared it. I made sure all my wrestling friends, like, I shared it with them directly or tagged them in it. I put it in a couple wrestling groups that I frequent,
mm-hmm.
and I'm on Facebook and everything. And, you know, one of our groups had quite a discussion about it. But, like, you know, after I went to bed, you know, I woke up a few hours later, and it was all over my Twitter feed. Like, I don't know how many people I follow, like 300, and like 250 of them are wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
And like every single one of them was tweeting something about it or sharing something that someone had tweeted or whatever. I mean, it was all over my Twitter feed literally was exploded with it. My Instagram exploded with it. My Facebook, not so much.
That's Facebook though.
My Facebook feed, but like in the specific groups I shared it in. I mean, that was a hot topic, but yeah, I mean, the last time I saw something that was done by a non-wrestler where it was over and you're like, A, that was amazing, and B, that guy gets it, was when Max Landis did his, what was it called? I think it might have been actually just called Wrestling is Real.
Mm-hmm.
But he did this really long like thing of the history of the Triple H character and the storylines involved with it. And, I mean, again, even Triple H, like, responded and retweeted after that, after it came out, and was like, this, and he wrote like, this guy gets it. I mean, it was like genius how he filmed the whole story together. And again, that's someone from outside of wrestling.
Right.
So yeah, I mean,
you know, it was rough seeing some of the parts in there, like Roddy Piper, you know, and the realism there.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, what am I supposed to do? I'm 49 years old. I don't get to retire till I'm 65.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make it to 65.
No.
I don't get to get a paycheck. And
right.
What skills do I have? I've been a wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, what am I supposed to do?
And then he died at 61.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, or Jake the Snake, you know, no health care. Had to set up a GoFundMe page. And yet, I mean, the fans just...
Oh, he's $7,000 in overnight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And John Oliver said, you know, the fans shouldn't have to do that. It's great that they do.
Right.
They shouldn't have to.
And then he showed others, like, he didn't go into detail, but he showed clips of other, like, GoFundMe and Indiegogos and everything like that, the wrestlers had set up when something, Paul Orndorff was going to lose his house. Not anymore. Scott Hall needed a hip, I think. Not anymore. You know, like all these things that fans have contributed. I've contributed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I not a rich man, but like I give $5 here, $5 there,
right.
$5 there, whatever. And it adds up because it makes a difference. And I feel like, all right, you know, I'm contributing to this person that I grew up watching wrestling.
Right.
You know, but he's right. Like, it shouldn't be that way. I mean,
they should be able to get insurance and medical leave
now,
instead of you have to wrestle within 6 weeks or you're cut.
Well, here's the thing. Well, see, again, it's a lot different now than it was. But yes, back then that was a thing. Like, if you were hurt, you were kind of encouraged to wrestle hurt because, well, you don't want to lose your spot and you're advertised.
But you're saying then, like, how long ago is this? Because we saw CM Punk on there.
The exception to the rule. And yeah, I'm making – you can't see what I'm doing, I realize. But may not be what it seems like.
Okay.
With CM Punk.
All right.
Okay? You know, it may not be what it seems like with him. But, you know, he – but when I say then and now, I'm talking 80s and 90s and early 2000s. But, like, you know, since Chris Benoit murdered his family and killed himself.
Fair enough.
You know, that's really when the change started happening. That's why you're not seeing chair shots in the head or your rarities if it happens. And usually it's by accident. Or you're not seeing a lot of things like you used to see. I mean, wrestling has changed a lot in the United States and the WWE. And Mexico and Japan and other places. No, especially in Mexico. It's rough.
Yeah.
But anyways, it has changed a lot in that aspect of it. As far as WWE providing employees with health insurance and everything, you know, they are listed as independent contractors, and they always have been. And I get what they're saying, you know, oh, well, you're not really an independent contractor if you're told where to be and when to be there, and you can't work for anyone else.
And you're working 200 days a year.
That's not the definition of independent contractor.
Right.
However, Kane, Glenn Jacobs, who played Kane in the WWE for 20 years, whatever. He's the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee. Knox County, yeah. And he has spoken out about how, why it's good that they're independent contractors, the benefits of it, since this has come out, since yesterday. And WWE did release a statement. Hold on, because I didn't know we were going to talk about this, so I don't have...
Well, it was something that we both watched, and I found it very interesting, you know, to see. One of the things that I like about John Oliver, and you'll see this pop up if you follow his stuff.
Yeah.
Even if you don't, a lot of times Monday morning social media will start talking about things that he's done. Like when the FCC was going to vote to repeal net neutrality, he encouraged everybody. He said, we're not even going to make it hard. He said, go here. This is the address, or go to our webpage, and we've got a button set up that will take you right there, and you can voice your complaint to the FCC. And it crashed their website several times over.
Yeah.
They couldn't get enough people, they couldn't get enough bandwidth to handle all the people who were doing it. Or a couple weeks back, he did a thing on robocalls and how annoying they were, and how there are basically four people at the FCC who are in charge of this, and they're just not doing a damn thing about it.
Yeah.
So he set up, he had his people set up a robocall system that would call those four people on their personal and office lines every 15 minutes with the same message saying, hey, do your fucking job and get rid of robocalls. So I like the fact that he gives
these, awesome, yeah, by the way.
He gives these call to arms like he did with this one, where he said, you know, who has more say in the WWE than anybody else is the fans.
Right.
And I loved his little clip there of Roman Reigns, you know?
Yeah.
They tried to make him work for so long. Watch this.
I did like that.
He's like, he's a good guy.
8 minutes. And it really did. Yeah. I thought that was great. See, that's, but again, I still look at it and goes like, all right, he has a grip on it. So this is WWE's statement. John Oliver is clearly a clever and humorous entertainer. However, the subject matter covered in his WWE segment is no laughing matter. Prior to airing, WWE responded to his producers, refuting every point of his one-sided presentation. John Oliver simply ignored the facts, the statement continued. The health and wellness of our performers is the single most important aspect of our business, and we have a comprehensive, long-standing talent wellness program. We invite John Oliver to attend WrestleMania this Sunday to learn more about our company. Now, correct, they do. Now, however, prior to, and this is how it always is, not just in wrestling, or but in every aspect of life practically, it's the, well, you know, those boards are loose on the stable. They'll be fine. And then when the horse finally gets out, oh, we should have fixed those boards.
Yep.
Right?
Exactly.
Now we got to reinforce it. It's your fault for letting it happen, blah, blah, blah. Since Chris Benoit murdered his family and committed suicide. That's when all the catalysts changed. That's when everything changed. So a lot of the things he's talking about, like all the wrestlers that died so young and this and that and yada, yada, that was all prior to that, prior to Chris Benoit and what happened and how they have changed things. They have dramatically changed things because of whether talent, wellness, and yes, they've paid for wrestlers to go to rehab some wrestlers time and time again. But WWE can only take so much responsibility for the wrestlers that no longer work for them, right? Because, like, you know, it's like coal miners suing the company they work for getting black lung for working in the coal mines in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really can't, because you knew the risk you were taking while you took the job.
Right. It would depend on the contract you signed.
Fair enough. Initially, they didn't understand these risks. Same thing with smoking or whatever. Initially, they didn't understand these risks, yes. But later on, they find out about it, so then they make actions to correct it and change it. Well, unless they can prove they knew about it the whole time and didn't do anything about it, like big tobacco,
right?
You can't really hold them liable for it. Kind of same thing with WWE. You know, now they've learned this stuff. Now they know what they need to do, and they've made the changes, and they've addressed it. So again, a lot of things that they were talking about were stuff that happened that pre-Benoit. And a lot of changes that happened post-Benoit have been for the better. However, they're still independent contractors. They still don't have health insurance. And that's probably still wrong.
Mm-hmm. It's usually, I found in any job, one of the first things that people will ask about, what are the benefits? Yeah. Or they'll say, I need health insurance.
Right.
I need to get a job so that I can have health insurance. Yeah. I know somebody who just got married so that their partner could have their health insurance.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a huge thing nowadays. As somebody who's been in the hospital recently, or
yeah.
had medical procedures.
Correct.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
We all play that. Yeah. We all play that game where we go, oh, can I squeeze this in before the end of the year, before my deductible resets on January 1st?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But no, it's a little tough sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, times have changed. We're learning from our past. We're learning from our mistakes. But
yes.
Anyhow, and the Max Landis thing documentary he did was called "Rustling Isn't Rustling."
Okay. So moving on then, are you caught up on You're the Worst? Because I know you hadn't watched the week before.
No. Okay. And here's an interesting thing. Since the merger, like the app on my tablet wasn't working since the merger.
What merger?
Since Fox got bought out by Disney.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what they did is they released a new app, but they don't tell you that. You open up the FX app and it says, oh, this needs to be updated. And so then it brings you to the store automatically and it shows open because it's updated. It doesn't say, hey, you need to download the new app, the FX Now app, as opposed to the FX app or whatever.
Gotcha.
So I download the new app and, oh, it's not compatible with this OS device.
I hate that.
Oh, so you can click.
So you can download it. You just can't install it.
Right. So you can go to the website and sign in and watch it on the website. Oh, except not on this device.
That's right. You need a flash player, and your device doesn't have a flash
exactly.
player.
Exactly. Right. So I just haven't had the chance to watch it. I plan on it, but I just...
So does that mean you also weren't able to see the premiere of What We Do in the Shadows?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
I won't talk about either. I will say this with You're the Worst. We're counting down, like... The last week's episode that you missed was called Four More Fucking Days.
Yeah.
And this week's episode was called We Were Having Such a Nice Day, and it's 3 days until the wedding.
Yeah.
So they're really counting down.
This is the last season, correct?
This is the final season. Okay. In fact, the season finale, the series finale is either tonight or tomorrow or next week. I can't remember which one. I know that tonight is the season finale of This Is Us.
Yes.
Did you happen to watch that one? The R&B episode?
I did watch the R&B episode. Hey, real quick, when's The Detour coming back?
Not soon enough. It's usually a summer show.
Oh, man, I have been itching to watch that.
The other day, I just suddenly thought of that, and I'm like, oh, like, you know what it was?
Well, no, because last year it came back in January.
Oh, really?
January to March, 2018. And that's when I was like, oh, it's got to be coming back by now. Did it get canceled?
No, it didn't. I had to park like a mile away the other day, and so I'm walking... You know, across the streets in Augusta, and I had to stand there and wait for the traffic signal to say. And I looked up, and I immediately thought of, "Hey, you can't walk until the white man says you can walk." I just burst out laughing as I'm walking across the street. The people with me probably thought I was insane.
They probably did.
It was really good. We got to meet Gretchen's mom this week, and it's pretty fucked up.
Okay,
but yeah. So this is us.
I did watch the R&B episode.
R&B. Randall and Beth.
Yeah, the whole episode is about the meeting, dating, getting married, and then... Oh, excuse me. And then it's intercut with their argument, which even their argument isn't like a normal couple's argument.
No.
They let each other talk and say what they have to say, and they take turns, and then they respect each other's...
Almost as if it was scripted.
Yeah. But then I was telling this to my wife. She's kind of stopped watching it. She's like, so what happened?
You're like, watch it.
Yeah. And I tell her, and I said, I thought it was kind of weird, because she's like, no, that sounds exactly like the type of argument they would have.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, my coworker, Jenna, I mentioned to her, because she watches the show, and she hadn't watched that episode yet.
Go ahead.
And the R&B episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I said, okay. I was like, so I'd like to know whose side you're on. She's like, well, he's got to support her in what she's doing and her decisions. I said, okay, so you're on Beth's side. Yeah. I'm on Randall's side.
I knew you would be.
I was before this episode.
Right.
And I'm even more so after this episode. I go, my buddy John, he's kind of on Beth's side. So I'd like to know where you stand after this episode is over. When the episode was over, she goes, yeah, I think I'm on Randall's side now. Where do you stand at the end of the episode?
I think they're both fucking nuts.
Oh, yeah.
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 But Randall definitely has a lot more strong points than he did before.
Right.
At this point, I'm not on either one of their sides,
right,
because I think both of them are being very selfish, and I think both of them are expecting everything else. You know, Beth talks about Randall smothering her.
Yeah.
I saw Randall going out of his way to do everything for her.
Correct.
You know, in the restaurant in the beginning when the guy's like, you're going to have to pay for your meal up front. That's a shitty thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, let's just do it. He goes, here's a check.
Yeah.
You know, how much is it? And she's like, oh, we're not eating here.
Right.
It reminds me of that time that we were at the bar, a very rare occasion, when Danny picked that fight with that girl and then got mad at me because I didn't take her side.
Right. I remember that. Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing. It's like, why should I? You just picked a fight with a stranger.
Right. Yeah.
There was no need of that.
Correct.
Same thing with Beth. You know, yeah, it was a shitty thing. Her storming out of there was not going to change that.
Right.
It was not going
to
change.
And the waiter, it's not like he walked up and he was like, you know, he was like,
dude, he was really nervous and shaking.
The manager says that you guys have to pay for your meal before you order. Yeah. He felt like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And Randall was just like, you know, that's fine. I'm not going to let this ruin my evening.
Right.
And
it's
then
first date with Beth.
Yeah. And she always, like she says at the end, like, you know, like she'll bitch about something and then he'll give some speech about why it's going to be okay and how they're going to pull this off and do it together. And then she falls, you know, like, okay, we're going to do this. You know what I mean? And that's, how is that a bad thing? She's like, because she's like, well, we said we'd be our own persons and we're not our own persons. And I, you know, I've put off everything I wanted to do for you and this and that and everything. And,
but she didn't want to do
anything. And then he brings that up where he says, it's not my fault that, you know, in your 40s, you decided that that this is what you want to do. You had this 20-year epiphany that this is what you want to do with your life. You know, like, it's not my fault that it took you, you know, this long to come to this realization. And I experienced something similar to that.
As did I.
Where all of a sudden, like, well, you know, because we were together in high school and we got married when we were young. And now all of a sudden, you know, at 30, I never got to do when I was younger. Okay, but that was your choice. You chose not to. I mean, like, we didn't have kids till we were 27. So, like, you had a gap to do stuff like that. You chose to stay home and not do it.
Yep.
You know, and that's that, and that's why I side with Randall, because like I'm like, he's right, you know, because like 75% of the episode is her bitching about him in their argument.
Yes,
and then the last 25% is his rebuttal, which is just finite. And then when she's losing the battle because she's clearly in the wrong. Then she fires back, when was I supposed to do that between your anxiety attacks? Like, right for the nuts.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then he's just like, congratulations. I don't have any more speeches. And he left.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So, I just, like when she tried to sneak away and go to a hotel for the night by herself. You know, that's.
Now, you understand it because you and I used to do stuff like that. That's right. Why we invented steak night. Because we needed to get away. However.
Yeah.
We were right up front about it. Yeah. We said, we're going out because we need to get the fuck away from you guys.
Right.
And you guys can have your own nights away from us.
Right.
We need to get away and we need to be out and feel like guys and just watch a movie, eat a steak, and just fucking be people.
Like if Kate were to come to me and go like, hey, I'm going to go stay at whatever, the Comfort Inn tonight because I just need a night alone and away. And because, you know, your long-lost father's here and your brother's here and I'm just feeling overwhelmed and I need some me time out of the house because I can't get any me time in the house. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How can I fault her for that, for being honest and upfront?
Right. Or how she was so mad that Randall had such a close relationship with his mother.
Yeah.
It bothered her so much.
Yeah.
You know, why not look at that as a positive?
Right.
You know? A lot of people, a lot of grown people, don't have a good relationship with their parents or their siblings.
Right.
You know, granted, the Pearsons aren't exactly the most stable people all the time.
Yeah,
but
they're still
to have
there for each
that
other. Yeah.
Kind of relationship where you're still, you not only get along, but like you're friends with your parents and your kids and your siblings,
and you're there for each other at a drop of a hat.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's
you're
a big thing.
I didn't even think about that, but you're absolutely right. She was jealous or angry about it.
We were supposed to be going mini golfing and he brought his mother. Well, as he said, Sunday is the day that we have dinner with her. And she wasn't seeing Miguel at the time.
Right.
You know, so she didn't have anybody. She, the other two kids are out in LA.
And she never even said, like, can't we spend the day without your mother?
Right.
She just said, let's not go to have dinner there. Oh, okay, we're going to do it. Well, let's go mini golfing. Oh, I'll tell Mom. I'll go. She'll love it.
Yeah.
You know, she wasn't honest and upfront. And that's the problem with that part of it. She's not honest enough. We are really ripping this show apart. It's fiction.
Yeah.
She's not.
But you know why? It's because both you and I have lived this.
Yes, we have. And I think it fires us up.
It wasn't until this episode that I looked at it and went, holy shit, I was in that relationship.
Yeah.
You know? And I know that I fucked up too. I know that I did.
Absolutely.
And that's why I say that both of them are at fault here. Right. However, you know, she was very deceptive in all of her stuff. And then she would resent him because he didn't read her mind.
Right.
You know?
And, like, even when he caught her in a lie, and she's like, oh, I just – and then she's finally honest. He's like, all right, cool. You have fun.
Yeah.
We'll see when you come home.
And then he says, which episode are you going to start with?
Yeah.
And then they exchange a little bit. She's like, oh, now I don't want to watch it without you. And he's like, no, go have fun. She's like, oh, no, I don't –
I'll come home.
Yeah.
Kevin likes this type of toilet paper, you know, like.
So now she's once again going to resent him for that, even though he was like, you lied to my face. You were sneaking around on me. I'm okay with it. I get it. Go do your thing.
She's like, I'm giving you a pass. Go have fun. And instead she's like, I can't anymore because I feel guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's on you.
Yeah.
Guilt is self-made.
You just have to be honest and upfront and, you know, truthful and not hide how you feel.
Yeah. Or get mad because he's not reading your mind.
Yeah, that one really pissed me off.
There was a lot about it. Yeah. It was a very rough episode.
Yeah.
In general.
I was watching but that's the only story we saw. We didn't see any other stories this weekend. And then we're showing the finale, the season finale, and there's maybe Kate's baby's going to die, and maybe Beth and Randall are going to get divorced, and apparently their mother got into a car accident when she was 20s or after dad died. I mean, clearly she's fine. She's still alive, for crying out
loud. Right.
But, it's
It was interesting that Randall was so upset about this because we got to flashback and see him watching his parents fighting about basically the same thing.
Yes, and then he refused. This is to engage in that fight.
Right.
Which is, he's just refusing to engage in a fight.
Yeah. Which, if somebody wants to fight about this.
Right.
Then
how often did our exes get mad at us because they would be yelling and screaming and fighting, and we'd be sitting there in a monotone and calm voice.
Yep.
And it just made things worse.
Yeah. Both of my exes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, season finale. Yeah.
Yeah. And real quick, got to take a step back. It's not our fault that we have the power to sit there and listen and let someone say what they have to say and then basically use a dozen words to tell them why they're wrong and stupid. Or why their argument has... Let me rephrase that. Why their argument has no legs. Not wrong and stupid, but why their argument has no legs.
Yep. Yep. Like... She who shall not be named saying to me, you need to support me. I want to learn to be a translator for the deaf. Why? Because it's been my dream my entire life.
Okay.
We've been dating for 10 years, and I've never heard that once.
This is the first time you've brought this up.
Literally ever.
Yeah.
You've never said anything about this.
Yeah.
You met this new guy whose wife is deaf, and suddenly this is the only thing that you want in life.
Yeah.
That doesn't fly with me.
Right. Now, if
you just don't understand. I understand quite well.
Now, if she would have said, hey, this seems fascinating to me. I want to give this a go.
By all means.
Yeah. Kate, to her credit, has, in the time we've known each other, has started and stopped many different things that she wants to try and give a go to.
Mm-hmm.
And it works out or it doesn't work out. And I'm supportive of all of them because it's something she wants to try and give a go to.
Yeah.
Because the same thing for me. Like, a few years ago, I bought a banjo and I tried to learn how to play the banjo. Did not work out well for me. But she was very supportive.
Well, you do have all your teeth.
I do. That's... Well,
that's a detriment to banjo playing.
I do have a cap on one, a crown on one now.
Mm, okay.
But the base is still my tooth.
Yeah. we got derailed there again.
Yeah. Again,
Yeah, we're pretty much all derailed.
This episode should be called The Derailment.
Yeah, that's probably what we'll call it. Here's the title, The Derailment.
The Rookie.
You know, I don't know about you, but for the first time, it was an episode of The Rookie where I got done and I went, okay.
Yeah.
There really wasn't anything in this episode that made me, like, excited or, wow, this is so good. It wasn't bad, but it was okay.
Yeah, it was what it was. I mean, it's called The Shake-Up, and basically Nolan's girlfriend's like, hey, there's going to be a special detail assignment you should volunteer for because I know the guy in charge. It'll look good for you.
Plus, it's Joel McHale. So.
And so, basically, they need a security detail for this guy in witness protection. And Nolan volunteers. And the sergeant's like, nah, we don't give that to Boots. And
he says your TO would have signed off. And she's like, hell no.
Yeah. And then Bradford goes, oh, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And he goes, besides, Nolan and I need some, we haven't had any quality time or something like that.
Yep.
You know, again, and I was talking to a coworker about this as well. Bradford is the best TO.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yep. Like his style of TO.
They're all good at teaching lessons, but Bradford's is just.
Yeah. And I feel like I was told that that's how I train people very similarly, you know, not like straight and direct and to the point.
Yep.
About things, you know.
Yeah, there's not a lot of umming or awing or, I don't know.
Right. So, because Nolan was with Bradford, then Chen was, is it Chen?
Yeah.
For me, I thought that was her character's name on Dark Matter. I don't know why. But Chen was with Nolan's TO. I can't think of her name.
I have a fun story about Dark Matter later.
Fair enough. And so, of course, we get to see that her dad is a psychologist and his patient attacked him and broke his arm. And she doesn't like police officers because he just thinks that police officers arrest people and put them in jail instead of getting the help they need. And, of course, there's a moment where dad overhears her talking to a patient about how, you know, hey, you know, if you, you know, say your mom, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, oh, yeah, okay, maybe you're different. And then his patient shows up and she has to arrest him because she does.
Well, yeah, because he assaulted him.
Right, and broke his arm.
Yeah.
And then now he's done.
Now he doesn't have to press charges.
Correct, but she still has to
arrest him.
Right, and now he's like, you're dead to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because honestly, there's evidence of an assault. Now, if he had no bodily damage, no evidence of an assault, then she wouldn't be able to. But because
this guy's in the hospital.
He's got a broken shoulder.
And this guy confessed to it. Right. Said, yes, I did it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's restable. Yeah. You gotta, yeah. And then there was an earthquake that happened.
Yeah, and it cut down the communications. And then we got a new captain that sucked. And by the end of the episode, he was gone.
He was a schmuck.
Yeah, he was.
He was just, he wasn't mean. He was just not there. He was like.
He was a pencil pusher.
Pretty much, yeah.
He was a pencil pusher paperwork guy.
Yep. So I wonder if they're going to do that, if they're going to keep cycling through captains until they find someone.
I feel like the sergeant's going to be made the captain, personally.
The sergeant's going to be made the captain. Bradford's going to take the sergeant's exam and hopefully get bumped up. And
I don't know, because I don't know. See, he seems the type to me that couldn't come off the road.
Maybe, but he also, I could see him being the next sergeant.
I say that because I had a lieutenant. He was he ended up being a lieutenant when I left.
Was his name Dan? Was his name Dan?
Kevin. Anyhow.
That's disappointing.
I don't know. So anyways, when he went from the road up to CID, which is the detective division, he was still stopping cars like crazy when he was out, like, in his unmarked, if he'd see something. And the other guy's like, this is not what we do. And he's like, I can't let it go. So, he didn't last long up in CID because it wasn't for him.
Yep.
And then he became a sergeant, and then he was a lieutenant when I was last there. But again, as a sergeant lieutenant, banging traffic all the time or going on calls or just doing whatever because he that's what he likes to do is work the road.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I see – that's why I'm like, that's how I see Bradford. So, no New Amsterdam.
Nope.
And, of course, the rookie, the
– good doctor.
The doctor's done.
Superstore, the Valentine's Day episode?
I did.
There were a lot of stories going on in this one, and each one of them was great in its own way.
Yep.
So Dina brought in all of her birds, which was an annoying story.
Until
Garrett accidentally released
them all.
Yeah, because he was trying to get the little snack tortilla chips that are rolled up, and he like had the claw thing, and he fed it through the cages into the dollar bill part of the machine, and then reached down with the claw thing, pulled them over, and then opened up the door just to pick them up.
And all the birds flew out.
Every one of them. But Dina thought that it was her fault, and he let her think that.
Yes.
All the way through. He almost confessed to her at one point, and then she was just like, let's just have sex.
Well, they're at her house now, because he was about to confess, and then she's like, well, maybe they'd fly home.
Right.
We should go there quick. And so they go there, and he's screaming for the birds out the window, and none of them are there, and then he's about to confess again, and then they do it.
Yep.
Yep.
And, he never did confess.
Marcus wants a tattoo of his mom on his back.
Oh, my God. And apparently Cheyenne's in tattoo school.
Well, yes. Yeah. And, you know, she's been tattooing on melons, which the skin's a lot different. And she ends up, like, tattooing his mom and up between his shoulder blades, but it looks horrible. So then we got to cover it up. So she covers it up by, like, tattooing his mom again and putting a hat on her.
Like a Lincoln hat.
That's what it ended up being.
Yeah.
You know, it got bigger and bigger as she had to keep covering up her mistakes of how bad it was.
She was down in, like, the lower back.
Yeah, and then by the time she was done, like, the center of his back was one big, like,
black
4-inch wide black strip
How painful that must have been?
Yeah.
Holy Jesus. It was hilarious to watch.
Sandra and Jerry start dating again, but Jerry doesn't break up with Carol first.
Right. So they're sneaking around, and Carol believes that Sandra is just doing what she did last year with faking the relationship with Jeff.
Yeah.
So, oh, look, she's sending herself flowers again. And it's really Jerry.
Yeah. Glenn reveals that he works 16 to 19 hours a day.
He's making a video for his baby.
Right. She's like, well, you need to be home so you don't miss everything. So he decides to make a video for his child. And then, like, at the end of it, he's, like, at her wedding. And I've missed this wedding because clearly I'm dead. And if I could have this do all over again. And he's like, oh, wait a second. Like, after spending all day making this video, he realizes I could just change how I do things.
Yeah. And he goes home. I think I don't want to be a manager anymore.
Yeah.
And drops the clipboard and walks out. And that's how it ends.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
So.
And then Jonah and Amy said, I love you to each other in the middle of a fight. Yeah. As is perfect for them. You know I love you. Well, I love you too. All right, fine. Well, at least we're agreeing on that. Did we just say that we love each other? Yes, we did. I've got to go.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
And they were fighting because taking sides.
Yes.
Because Garrett and Dina.
Yep.
It was a good episode.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stories, like you said, going on.
Yep. We had a double episode of The Blacklist.
Yeah. No.
Didn't watch it?
I didn't. I tried.
Okay, this is what I'll say about it. The first episode features Red's mentor, Stacey Keach.
Okay.
Great actor. It was kind of a weird episode. It was kind of comical.
Yep.
Like, they're trying to do a heist, and I don't know. It was a little unbelievable, but you look at Stacey Keach and James Spader, and you're like, these are both pretty big, older guys, so they're obviously not going to be rappelling down the sides of buildings. So a lot of what they had them do was just, like, shuffling from place to place. So you're looking at it, and you're like, this is a pretty sloppy heist, but okay, I get it. And the second one was called the Osterman Umbrella Company, and I will just say it was great.
I look forward to watching them.
It was a great concept.
Yep.
Odette Fair was back.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a good episode.
I did not watch any of the CW shows.
Neither did I, actually. Legends came back last night, though.
I know. If I had time to watch that, I would have.
Yeah, but that's why I messaged you. I was like, should I bother to watch this? Because I didn't want to be coming over going, whoa!
The new season of Cardinal popped up on Hulu.
Okay.
It's a Canadian police procedural.
Okay.
In a small town, I guess. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's the way the first episode starts out. It's really weird because it's like, wait, I don't remember the second season ending this way, but I guess it did. It was a weird way it started. But okay. Anyways, I've watched two of this is 6 or 8 episodes. I've watched a couple of them. They're pretty good.
Yep.
Pretty good season again. I don't have much more to say than that.
Okay. I watched the premiere episode of Tacoma FD.
As did I. Now, here's what's funny. I watched it on the True TV app. Mm. And I had an option to watch the television version or an explicit version.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great. I bet you that was even better.
It was. They said fuck.
Awesome.
And shit.
Awesome.
Obviously, this show is going to be heavily compared to Super Troopers because Kevin Heffernan and Steve Lemmy are the two leads and creators.
And the two most handsome Super Troopers.
Yes. And Kevin Heffernan plays the new fire chief. And Lemmy's one of the firefighters. And, you know, they've been, I think they're brother-in-laws. And
yep.
Known each other for years, even before then.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're having a hard time taking him seriously as the chief because he's one of the guys.
Right.
And then,
and he's even having a hard time taking himself seriously. I love the shrimp in the chair. That was just beautiful.
Oh, God, that was hilarious, yeah.
Frozen shrimp in the hydraulics of the adjustable chair.
So the smell, yeah.
And then at the end when he's like, all right, I give, and they were in the curtain rods.
Yeah. And then, like, the city council lady's kind of on his back the whole time about, you know, making changes and not being one of the guys and being taken seriously. And it reminds me it reminds you so much of Super Troopers because it's the same setting.
Yep.
Small time, local fire department, you know.
Oh, I wanted to kill that kid down the well.
Oh, yeah, the kid in the well.
What a little fucking douchebag.
Yeah, he was.
Is my mom gone? Yeah, good. I came down here on purpose to watch YouTube videos and vape. Fuck you. Leave him there.
That's what I'd say.
They had a preview. I don't know if you got this on the app.
What?
It said this season on...
Yes, I did. And they showed a bunch of clips.
And they showed all the other Super Troopers.
Yes.
And that was great.
The beginning of the episode where the llama is stuck in the treehouse and he's... And the llama's spinning on people.
And they made sure to, like, make it extra green.
Oh, my God. It was so gross. And then the beginning of the episode is the saltine challenge.
Yep.
And so, which you can watch that clip on YouTube. But the fire chief gives the llama saltines because it's going to dry its mouth up so it can't spit anymore. That was hilarious.
it wasn't a llama. It was an alpaca.
Alpaca, yeah. And then the alpaca lady's so happy that she... like, offers them a gift certificate.
For $500 worth of alpaca goods.
Which is not a lot of alpaca goods, really.
No.
So they have this competition to try and win it, but they tell one of the firefighters that, he's like, wait a second, do they have to kill the alpaca to get its fur? Oh, yeah, they do. And he believes them.
Yeah.
So now he's outraged.
Yeah, he's like the big, handsome, sexy-looking guy, and he's, like, all perturbed about this, and he wants to save the alpacas.
So I thought it was pretty funny. I thought it was stupid funny, but I'll say this. If you liked Super Troopers, you're probably going to like this.
That's exactly it.
Yep. But if you didn't like Super Troopers, you probably wouldn't.
Nope. Nope. You know? You'd probably be like, wow, this is pretty lowbrow. This is pretty stupid. These guys are all peeing in giant water bottles.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
And clearly not doing it for real because they're all, like, under the table holding something. And then they stand up and they're already zipped up. Like, their belts are fastened.
Definitely not pee shag guys, apparently.
I guess
not. And, of course, the preview for next week's episode, whatever, they introduce a woman to the fire department.
Yep.
So, which, again, very Super Trooper-ish.
Yep.
So, but, yeah, I'll keep watching it.
Yep. I only got two other shows to talk about.
I only have one other show to talk about. Maybe two. I don't know.
I watched the first two episodes of the third season of Santa Clarita Diet.
I knew that was back. I haven't watched any of it.
I have only watched two episodes because I'm trying to pace it. You know, there's only 10 episodes.
Is it good?
It's so good.
I knew it would be.
It's so good. Ethan Suplee gets introduced.
Nice.
Joel McHale and what's her name there are back.
Yep.
You remember how season two ended with Anne basically like pledging allegiance to Drew Barrymore there? Because she's like, oh, you're obviously here to do God's work.
Yes.
Oh, that doesn't stop.
Oh, good.
And it is phenomenal.
Do we still get Nathan Fillion's talking head? That's too bad.
They address it in the first episode.
Was the Orville not on last week?
Correct.
Okay. Sorry. I was just looking through my list and I was like, hey, wait a second. So I watched the series premiere of The Twilight Zone.
As did I. The Comedian.
It was 55 minutes long.
Yep.
The next episode's 37 minutes long. So just to give you a guess.
I feel like this one could have been 37 minutes.
I don't know. I was happy with it.
Oh, I was happy with it, but I feel like they could have condensed it down.
I gotta say, if this episode is any indication of what is to come in the rest of the season, this is going to be tremendous.
I will second that, and I will also add to that this episode reminded me of the big difference, because a lot of people like to say, oh, Black Mirror is the new Twilight Zone, but it's not.
No, it's not.
Because this episode right there showed the big distinct difference.
Yes.
Black Mirror keeps you guessing the whole time. Like, yeah. They don't come right out. This one came right out, and you knew 10 minutes in, 15 minutes in, exactly what was going on. And you were like, how's he going to do this? How's he going to handle this? Black Mirror, you'll get to the end of an episode and go, oh my God, I didn't see that coming. Or, oh, I saw this coming a mile away. Uh-huh. But they always try to keep the twist till the end.
Yeah.
Twilight Zone is like, here's the twist. Watch what we do with it.
Right.
You know, the box. Here's a box. You press the button. You'll get $1 million. Somebody you don't know will die. And then you spend the whole episode watching them have the moral conundrum over it.
Yeah, I don't want to give away too much in the episode, because if you don't subscribe to CBS All Access, that's fine. They put it on YouTube, or if you have Amazon Prime, just go to the CBS All Access channel on
Amazon. And you can watch
the first episode for free.
Apparently two episodes are out now.
Yes, they did two episodes, and then the next episode comes out April 11th.
Mm-hmm.
I think by the end of April they have aired four episodes is the way it's going to work. I listened to the Twilight Zone podcast, and they gave me the rundown there. So anyways, I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I think it's the, you know, I keep talking about how I want an anthology show or a real anthology show, and it's just we haven't been getting them because the new definition for anthology show is that it's a different series every season with the same title. You know, like American Horror Story or Channel Zero or whatnot. They're calling Castle Rock. They're calling those anthology shows, but it's a whole season of one topic, and then the next season is a different topic, if you will, as opposed to each episode being a standalone story. The next episode is the Gremlin on the Plane one, the one that they did William Shatner in the original series, and then John Lithgow in Twilight Zone the movie,
and then reference on Third Rock from the Sun in the most brilliant middle way I've ever seen.
Absolutely. So that's the second episode, and I have too heard that the second episode is even better than the first. So I'm not sure how I'm going to handle this show. I don't know if I'm going to actually just get CBS All Access and say, screw it, I want to watch it, or if I'm going to wait for all the episodes to be up and then get it and watch it, burn it that way. But man, it was fantastic. I absolutely loved it.
I did as well. And again, I won't go into detail on it because people should watch it. They should see it.
Absolutely, they need to see it.
But again, it was such a departure. One thing with Jordan Peele, he did a interview recently, and he said that people were concerned, and they said to him, you know, don't be Rod Serling. You're not Rod Serling. Only Rod Serling is Rod Serling.
Right.
And he's like, I didn't want to. But then I got on stage, and I saw the set, and I saw what we were doing, and I said, fuck it, I'm doing it. And he did Rod Serling.
Yeah.
You know, well, he stood there and said, presented for your.
But he didn't try to mimic his voice.
No.
He was he used his own voice. In his
but
own,
he still kept but, monotone.
Yes. The suit.
The suit.
Being monotone about it, the way he introduced it. And I love the fact that the closing credits used the same closing credit theme song.
Yes.
From the original. Now, the opening theme song is very similar. It's got the same narrative, but the music is a little bit different, but it's similar. However, the closing credits is the same exact one.
Hearing him talking about, you know, between light and dark, and I was just like,
it was great. To me, it lived up to the hype that I had built in my mind about it.
Yep, me as well. And great way to kick it off with Kumail Nanjiani, who's a great actor, and then no other, like, watching the previews for the next episodes, there are known actors everywhere. But we've got Kumail himself, and then a bunch of unknowns.
And even him, like, you wouldn't know who he was unless you knew who he was, type of thing.
Right.
But yeah, no, it was a great story. Very clever. When we're done recording, I want to talk to you about it.
Yes.
Did you watch any movies this week?
Just one, but I watched it four times.
What movie?
Into the Spider-Verse.
I watched it once.
Okay.
I watched it today.
Mm-hmm.
So on the DVD.
Because your secretary reminded you to?
Because you sent me a text reminding me yesterday, like I requested. Remember how you said on the DVD there's like a whole another two-hour movie that's completely different? That's not the case.
Okay.
It's the same movie with 30 minutes of added stuff into it, and a lot of it is incomplete. So that, it's just they like did say that storyboards or whatever, yeah. But
they said that they changed the origin story and now he was friends with his roommate.
Correct, yeah. There's that as well. The Spider Ham, Peter Porker?
Yeah.
Okay, so on the DVD, there's a little cartoon that shows how he gets sucked into the...
Nice.
Into the...
this version of reality.
Yes, but what'd they call that thing?
The Collider?
Yeah, the Collider. Yeah. Super Collider.
Yep.
Anyways, and then I started watching the... Just to see what it was, the different the other version,
mm-hmm.
and that's how the movie starts, is with that scene.
Gotcha.
And then it goes to the opening credits and all that other business, and then...
Now, Spider-Ham is getting his own show.
Really?
Yep. Yep. He's going to have his own animated show.
So I think this has been out long enough that we can talk about it if you want.
I agree, because it's now out on Blu-ray and DVD, so it's been in theaters, it's been at Redbox, it's been on demand.
So, I got to say... That I absolutely loved it.
Wasn't it great?
I mean, sincerely, I absolutely loved it. I mean, the story was tremendous. And I am not ashamed to admit that when Mary Jane was doing Peter Parker's eulogy, I got a little teary-eyed.
No shit.
Because it was amazing. Like, I had to pause it because I was like, holy crap, that is amazing. Like...
I mean, it was weird enough seeing Kingpin kill him.
Okay, yeah, and with one blow, which seems... I questioned the hell out of that.
Well, A, he was weakened, and B,
yes.
Kingpin is
Kingpin,
really...
yeah. But to me, it was like... I don't know, I'm not going to say it felt real, or I don't want to sound corny, but like, I love Spider-Man. I grew up reading the comics, and I had so many of them. I've watched all the movies.
Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
I watched the cartoons when I was a kid. I'm very attached to this character. And, we've seen him die in other comics, but it's whatever. You're reading it, or, you know, like during the Alpha Crisis or whatever, you know. But, yeah, to hear this eulogy and be like this character that I've read about, watched in different mediums and formats on my life, it was amazingly emotional.
Yeah. When she was like, he was just a normal guy. He always said anybody could have been behind the mask.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was rough, but beautiful at the same time. It wasn't rough as in like, oh, I can't handle this. It was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, it reminded me, like it reminded you, obviously, how much I love this character.
You
know, how much you love Spider-Man. And even though you knew going into it, because you've seen the previews, you knew there were other Spider-Men out there.
Yes.
You knew what was going to become of Miles.
Yeah.
But still, you know, I didn't realize, like, I went into this blind, like I guess you did. I didn't realize that there was going to be a Peter Parker here and that it was Chris Pine. Because he was never billed. They never gave him top billing. They never gave him any kind of billing. Mm-hmm. Like, they told us about Spider-Man Noir. They told us about... God, his name escaped.
Peter B. Parker.
Yes. Yep. Spider-Gwen, Spider-Ham, Penny Parker. You know, they told us about all those, but I never realized that there was going to be a Chris Pine Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Which, great character to be the voice of the perfect version of Peter Parker.
Right. Now, I'm not really that familiar with Miles Morales in the comics. I am, but I'm not. And I say it this way. The one thing I was like, was in this version with Miles Morales... Aunt May knows about Peter being Spider-Man, and Spider-Man has a lair? Is that in the comics?
I don't think so.
Okay. I'm okay with it.
The way I understood it, Miles... I'm not even going to try to, because it's changed so many times.
Unfortunately,
you know, when Miles was first introduced, it's...
No, that's okay. Yeah. We don't need to go into it.
Right.
But I just...
For this case, yes, she did have a
look. I thought the story was phenomenal.
It really was. I got taken by surprise a lot of times. Like I said, you know, the fact that he was killed and that he had a eulogy. I loved Stan Lee's cameo.
Oh, Stan Lee's cameo was fantastic, yeah.
When he's like, I'm going to miss him, you know. We were friends, you know. And knowing that he just died recently, it's like, you know. Because you could picture that. That really was one of Stan's friends.
Right.
You know, he created this character, and he created him as a teenager. So, you know, he probably looked at him as like a son figure. And then when he's like, can I bring it back if it doesn't fit? Oh, it always fits eventually.
Yeah.
Like,
and then they go to the sign, no refunds.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it.
Liv. Liv took me by surprise.
Yes, have a female Dr. Octopus.
Yeah. Dr. Liv. I mean, I knew that in this version, you know, the Alchemax thing and Norman Osborn was more the demon than anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you know that Prowler was Miles' uncle?
I did.
Okay.
But
see, I'm wondering if people didn't know that, if they were like, if they were taken by surprise or if they saw him.
No, I knew he was. Because in the new Spider-Man movie,
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover plays Prowler, but he's not costumed. He's just a cat burglar, if you will.
Mm-hmm. But think about this. That version of Peter is like 15 years old.
Right.
You know, so Miles in that universe, if we're following the same timeline, would be like 3 or 4.
Fair enough.
Because this Peter was 26 when he was killed.
Yes.
So. Yeah, I look, like I said, I've been watching this over and over again since I got it, because there were so many things that worked well for it. And I remember when I first saw it in the theater and I said, you know, you've got to see this. And I said, it felt like the first time I've seen a comic book movie in a while, because the Marvel movies are amazing.
Yes,
don't get
me
wrong. I love them. However, seeing this animated like this and with the chat boxes popping up on screen when he's like, why are my thoughts so big? And they're coming up like comic text dialogue.
Yes.
That made it a comic book movie to me.
Yep.
That made it feel like I was reading or watching a comic book come to life. The sound effects were phenomenal. Prowler, that crazy predator velociraptor noise that always accompanied him, it chilled me. You know, it chilled me right to the bone. I did think it was a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Kingpin killing him seemed a little bit extreme, I guess. Like, he basically tells him, kill Spider-Man. Prowler doesn't kill Spider-Man, so he kills Prowler. Like, why didn't he just shoot Spider-Man?
Because Prowler was standing in the way.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it, because you didn't do what I say, I'm going to make an example out of you.
Yep.
Without hesitation.
Right.
That's who Kingpin is.
Right. I like their version of Scorpion.
Yep.
I've always liked him, you know, the very Spanish Mac Gargan with the robot legs and tell me, by the way, for you of all people, that you watched all the way through the credits and got the PS.
Of course I did. I literally sat there and went, this is a Marvel movie. You better watch the credits to see what happens after.
Holy shit. So I was so excited.
When I saw Spider-Man 2099, Miguel O'Hara, because
and that's why I wanted to tell you, but I didn't want to tell you.
I had both his runs.
Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic.
I didn't want to tell you, but I was like, oh, he's got to see the 2099 I was in. Because he's the one that I kept wondering, why don't they have him of all people in Spider-Verse?
I was wondering the same thing as I'm watching him. I thought, well, okay, whatever. And then when he goes back to, where are you going to go? I'm going back to where I'll start, 1967. He goes to the old cartoon.
Earth 67.
And then they, you know, they pan and scan it or whatever it is, full screen it, you know, 4x3. And it's like, oh, I'm Peter Parker. I'm Miguel O'Hara. I'm here to... why are you pointing at me? Because you're pointing at me. Well, you don't point at me. It's just back and forth. And then, who pointed first?
Which one of them
points? Spider-Man always points first. You know, like, I just... It was such a 1967's cartoon.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
It was awesome.
Except they put 2099 in place of the other Spider-Man. It was just... It was beautiful. They're already working on a sequel.
I'll watch it. I'll go to the theater and see it.
Yeah. I think you...
I'm probably going to buy this movie.
That's why I bought it. I haven't bought a movie in forever, and I had to buy that one. The soundtrack. That is not normally my kind of music, but it
worked
so
it
well.
Worked. Yeah, I know. I feel the same way, but it worked.
I loved Jake Johnson as the dumpy Peter Parker.
Yes.
Not because, I mean, he did a good job of playing, you know, the loser type.
Yeah.
But it was also, you understood it. Like, he wasn't the 26-year-old idealist that died. He was the 40-something guy who had been doing this for years and years. He buried Aunt May. He had a divorce because...
Yep. And he wasn't over her yet.
Right.
Yeah.
So he was broken down. He wasn't just a loser to be a loser. He was like, this has taken a toll on him.
Yep. He was the battered and bruised Spider-Man.
Yep.
When they were showing the story, they dropped the comic book down. They'd show you the origin stories of
all right, people, that. Let's do this one more time.
I thought it was great.
Yep.
Even Spider-Man Noir. With Nick Cage. That was perfect.
I love it when they looked up at him and he's like, is that wind blowing? Where's the wind coming from? And he's like,
we're in a basement. Yeah.
The wind follows me wherever and the wind smells like rain. It's like, okay, that was a little bit weird. But that's Nick Cage.
I mean, yeah. No, I thought it was great. I really, really enjoyed the movie.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad to have watched it. That was my break I took today.
Nice.
Like, I was like, I got to get this done so I can go watch the movie. And I got it done. I got myself a little lunch. I went and sat down. I started watching the movie. And I wasn't looking at my phone. I wasn't looking at my laptop. I didn't get distracted by something. I didn't lose my attention that I was, because I wanted to see everything that was happening. It was really good.
And it had so much humor, but it was done so well.
Yeah.
Like when they're sitting there at the eulogy and she says, you know, he's counting on you.
Yeah.
And Miles, they're all counting on me now. What kind of leads in? Probably not you.
Probably not you specifically. Yeah.
Or when Peter finds him, you know, and he accidentally venom blasts him across the graveyard. They're like, it's a kid dressed up like Spider-Man holding a homeless corpse.
Yeah. Dragging around a homeless corpse. Yeah.
And you're obviously glitching. Why would you say that? They had, like, the humor was great, but it was also well done. Spider-Ham, like, everything about him. He dropped an anvil on Scorpion.
That
and they just
hilarious.
Walked up, and he's like, what are you, some kind of little cartoon? You got a problem with cartoons?
Yeah.
John Mulaney is beautiful. He's a beautiful human being, and I loved him as the voice.
They somehow made it work.
Mm.
This could not have been done live action.
No. Oh, no. Especially with Spider-Ham, but...
Like, I really enjoyed when they broke in, stole the hard drive, the whole tower, if you will. And
clean
like,
up your desktop, lady.
Yeah, and he's teaching them, you know, he's teaching them how to swing. He's like, you know, like, twip, and then, you know, pull up, and then twip, and then pull up. Like, yeah, I thought that was good.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
I like your haircut. You're not allowed to like my haircut.
Yeah.
And I love that they kept calling it a goober.
Yes.
Even Aunt May, she's like, oh, a goober. There's always an override key or a bypass key or an I can't care to think about it key. I just call them a goober. Yeah, it was phenomenal. There's a reason. I know that the whole thing is just bullshit, but there is a reason that this got the Academy Award for Best Animated Picture. It was phenomenal. And like I said, the soundtrack, just it's one of those, just like with the Umbrella Academy, it's a soundtrack that just gets you.
Yeah, it does.
And, I even liked when the spider first bites him, you know, because you're seeing all the build up and it's all over him, and it bites, and you see the venom go in there, and it's changing all those platelets, and then it just pauses, and he goes,
yeah,
and flicks it off. Like
it didn't hurt him at all.
Right. He's just like, ow. Yeah, in the comics, his roommate there is his best friend. That's the character of Ned in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
They modeled it after his roommate there.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yep.
But, do you have any news or trailers? Or?
One trailer that I only watched part of, it's good. I'm going to watch it. And that was Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Oh, yeah. I've seen little clippets here and there, and I don't need to see more than that.
Exactly.
I read those books so many times. I checked those out of the library so many times when I was in elementary school.
And then I just got a couple of news things. The Umbrella Academy was officially renewed for season 2.
No surprise.
I'm very excited about that. It's going to start filming soon.
Mm-hmm.
Emily Bett Rickard, who is Felicity, is done after this season. So she will not be back for the 10-episode miniseason next year.
Hmm.
Yeah, a lot of people are scratching their heads about that one.
That's kind of peculiar.
Yeah, because she's already announced it. Yep, I'm done.
She's in the flash forwards.
Yeah. Yeah, so she's still alive in the future. So I don't know what they're going to do about that, but...
Okay.
And then the only other thing that I had that mattered to me was, remember how I told you I had a funny story about Dark Matter?
Oh, yes.
So they did an interview with the creator of it. And one of the questions was, why did it get canceled so suddenly and without warning? And he said, well, it's a funny story. They pitched the idea originally to Sci-Fi's New York office.
Yeah.
Apparently they have different offices. So they've got one in New York, one in LA. So they pitched it to New York. The New York guys were like, this is great. We love it. Let's do it. Well, apparently at the same time, it had made its way to LA, and the LA guys looked at it and went, this is dog shit. We don't want it. So then the New York guys were like, oh, we like it. So they started moving forward. And the LA guys were like, wait a minute. So they got kind of pissy because they had turned their noses up at it, and now it was being made. And then it was getting really popular. And it was actually like the second most popular show on the network at a point. And the guy, he had a 5-year plan. He knew the story he wanted to tell. What does that sound like? Supernatural.
Yep.
So they were riding high. Well, during the third season, the guy who was in charge in New York went to work for Netflix. And now they had no champion. And even though they were making money hand over fist and they were popular on Netflix, not Netflix, on Sci-Fi, yeah, the LA guys were suddenly in charge. And just out of spite, they buried it. And that's why they canceled it. They gave no press release. They gave no warning. They didn't even tell the crew. They just destroyed it just out of spite.
Dick move.
Yeah. So we never got to see how it finished because – and he had it. He said, I had a 5-year plan. We had stories wrapped in other stories. He says, we knew exactly where we were going.
Yeah.
So that pisses me off.
That's a bunch of horseshit. Mm-hmm.
So I know I said it was a funny story, but it wasn't really.
I know what you mean, though. Ironically funny.
Yeah.
It's like – rain, you know, your wedding day.
It's not irony. That's coincidence.
It's like a free ride when you've already paid.
No.
Is it?
That's just bad luck.
Is it similar to good advice, but you just can't take?
No. That's just obstinance. Alanis Morissette, you know, lied. Alanis Morissette lied. That's all I got.
All right. Well, that's it then. We're all done with this episode.
Sweet.
The derailment.
Yes.
Where it's an hour and 25 minutes long and 45 minutes of it's actually show talk.
Oh, we're going to get kicked off the network.
Probably not. Because, you know, we don't get paid.
Oh, that's right. We're WWE stars.
We're independent contractors.
That's right.
Don't get injured on the job. You're on your own. Anyhow,
yeah.
I'm on the Twitter machine. I'm Superstar Mal.
The Quantum Geek, G33K.
And that's the show.
See you next week.